or go to the online concert billboard at WUSB.FM, which has a schedule for coming months so you can plan ahead. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM. And this week, we're asking you to give generously to WUSB. Call 631-632-6901 and pledge now.
That's right. Save us the trouble of asking again. 631-632-6901 is the number to call to pledge to this amazing place. This amazing place being WUSB Stony Brook, where it's time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you this Tuesday evening, joined once again by Kyle.
Hi, everyone.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm feeling a bit, what's the word? Cosmopolitan. You know, I had it before.
Cosmonautic.
Cosmonautic. That's it. I'm feeling cosmonautic today. And why is that? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's because it's World Cosmonautics Day.
It is World Cosmonautics plural or Cosmonautics singular?
World Cosmonautics Day.
Okay, all right. It was 50 years ago today that that guy whose name I once again forgot, I'm sorry.
Yuri Gagarin.
Yuri Gagarin, that's it. Okay, Yuri Gagarin. He was launched up into space.
Yes.
Against his will, or did he agree to it?
No, he trained for it and agreed to it. He was a big-time test pilot and eventually was launched into space and traveled around Earth in, I think, several revolutions, or I think one revolution around Earth, and it took him 180 minutes?
Yeah, he was only... Well, actually, it was less than 2 hours. Wait, he was only up for less than 2 hours, and he came right back down. And, you know, I don't want to take anything away from the momentousness of that occasion. It obviously was the start of everything. But before that, they did send monkeys and dogs up into space, you know, and nobody knows their names. They came back. And also, when they shot him up into space, did he really have any control over anything? Was he just pretty much a passenger and everything was automated? It seemed to me, from what I've been seeing, that most of it took care of itself, and he didn't really have to do anything. He might have had to do something if something went wrong. But
yeah,
he didn't.
If that's a failed, he would probably have had to take over. And yep, that some of the dogs that went up are well known.
Like who?
I can't remember.
Yeah, you see, that's how it always goes.
It's terrible.
But dogs probably didn't have the instructions on how to manually land or something like that. And I guess that's the difference. The point being that, you know, either one of us could have been shot up into space on that day, not done anything manually because we didn't know how, landed, and then we would have parades and all kinds of notoriety.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a lot of things that they didn't know at the time, like that whether he would remain conscious or not during the launch, and I think during the orbit too. They didn't really know a lot of this stuff about like how the human body would react in space.
So he was a guinea pig, pretty much.
Pretty much.
They also sent those up.
He was one of the first people to describe weightlessness too.
Uh huh. Did they know weightlessness was going to happen, or was that a big surprise?
I think they knew that.
All right.
I think they knew weightlessness was an effect of going up into space, but that was like part of the magic of having human spaceflight, is that he was able to recount it and describe it even while he was up there.
And that's the thing that so many people just don't seem to get, is that you need that human element to it all in order to really bring it all home. We always watch NASA TV. It's I think officially our favorite channel.
Yes.
And it was a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, that we were watching this guy up on the space station. This Italian guy. He was so animated and so emotional about everything he was describing and sharing with the folks back home. And no robot, no computer program can ever give you that, can ever give you the emotion of just being up there in space and building something or making something work, fixing a problem. That's what it's about. And we can send all the probes we want into outer space and to other planets, and that's great. We should be doing that. But it's not a substitute for the human aspect. And I really hope we never lose sight of that.
Yeah, I think it's going to change forms, but I think all along we're going to have humans continuing to venture out into space. And it's amazing to see some of the advances. I mean, even with the shuttle program ending, I think there's new possibilities, and there's whole generations of people that have been inspired. Whether they may actually travel into space or not, I think people are really enthusiastic about it. You know, maybe they're not going to be an astronaut, but maybe they'll be an engineer working on some of these problems or helping facilitate it, like by creating new systems or new innovative ideas or ways of propelling ourselves into orbit. All those things have been inspired in a lot of ways by the history and the feats that occurred, mm-hmm. Half a century ago to get us into the position we're in now.
Yeah, so exploration is always something that inspires so many others. Whether it's exploring technology or exploring the Earth or exploring space or the sea or science in any form. It's just it's that human thing that we can never lose. It's interesting, too. There's only two more flights of the space shuttle left. Endeavour, I believe, is launching next week. And then it's Discovery after that?
Yeah, I think Discovery has its final flight after Endeavour.
Wow. And then it's over. It's so weird because I was behind this microphone when it began, back
really?
In 1981. Yeah, doing the Voice of Long Island. If you go back and listen, go to www.2600.com/VOLI, which stands for Voice of Long Island. You can listen to all of the shows that we aired back then, 1981 through 1983, and right about this time we were talking about the space shuttle launching. I think maybe before, because it got postponed a few times. I think we were making fun of it for never being able to get off the ground, but eventually they did. We were talking about the Hubble Space Telescope before that became reality. It's just interesting to see it all develop like that. And also, on a side note, we've been airing The Voice of Long Island once a week since its initial show in February of 1981. When we started that 2 years ago, we put it up February of 2009, And it comes to an end this week, actually. This Friday is the last recorded show that we know of from the original Voice of Long Island run. So after this Friday, that's it. Well, actually, there are a couple of reunion shows. We'll be putting those up, too, but this was the last one. So I hope people have enjoyed that, but we just basically put them up as if they were new programs once a week, and the date lined up perfectly as far as day of the week and the date of the month. Now we'll be all caught up except for those reunion shows. It's magic.
It is magic. It's kind of sad, though. It's a lot of fun listening to those shows. I remember I was doing work on Saturdays. I would listen to it while I was...
Really?
I volunteered at a school, and I would help and, you know, help out other students or, you know, students and, you know, do maintenance stuff. And I would always have it streaming really low on the Saturdays. And, you know, people would listen. They would be listening to you guys, but they'd have no idea what it was. I'd just play it really low on the computer behind the desk.
Hearing a radio show from the early 1980s.
Yeah.
And playing it off like you're just listening to the radio.
Exactly.
Wow.
And people would have no idea what it was, but I would just be playing tunes. And it was great to see people working, and they would really, they would do amazing stuff.
Well, what would they say when we said something like, here's a new one from the Sex Pistols or something like that? Well, no reaction. Or President Reagan said today.
Right. Well, it was so low, you know, play it really low, but you guys were really good hosts and had a lot of, fun-loving spirit, you know, and just good production, you know, so people, it just blends really well, even, you know, especially if it's low. It's not, you know, really loud and obnoxious. Just keep it sort of as a nice, subtle soundscape, and, you know, it was really conducive to a lot of good work, and I was doing that for several months in a row.
What's amazing is that hundreds of people, if not more, download these shows every week.
Right.
Sometimes I look at the logs, and I'm amazed by how many people from all over the world are downloading them. Much more than when Mike U.S. and I were doing the show way back then.
Right.
Maybe a handful of people we expect to be listening. You never really know with radio how many people are really listening. But late at night on a Friday night into Saturday morning, it couldn't have been that much. But everyone seemed to always have heard the show. If we did something crazy, if we made a funny phone call to some part of the world, then everybody will have heard about it next week. So you never really knew how many people were actually listening, how many people were just talking about it. But it was definitely magical, and the beauty of it is it's all still there. It's all still online, so you can do what Kyle did and listen to it once a week or once a day or whatnot. It's full broadcast quality. Well, at least cassette radio, cassette tape off the radio quality, which I think is about the same.
Wow.
And
yeah, it does sound good.
It's really cool to archive these things, and I really have to credit Mike for doing that, because he's the one who brought his tape recorder in to record the shows each week. I never would have thought to do that, and that's probably why we archive everything now, because I realize how important it is to remember things, to save things, to see how news came about, how things developed, and as years go by, you see how it's changed. You know, back then, we didn't think the phone network was ever really going to change. And it's completely alien now. It's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Except in the case of Verizon. You know what I've been going through with Verizon.
Yeah.
I talked about that a little bit on the other show. Basically, a very simple thing that we've got here on Long Island. We have a phone line that we want to forward to a different phone line. You know, it's a very simple concept. We've been doing this for a very long time.
Right.
However, I did not know that Verizon kept the old calling districts that New York Telephone used to have back in the 1980s. Those calling districts are, let me see if I can remember this, Western Suffolk, Eastern Suffolk, Nassau, New York City, which includes all the five boroughs, Westchester, and I think Rockland. I think those are the six. There might be more, but that's the six I know. Why are there zones? Well, because back then, if you called from one zone to another, it was extra. For instance, if you called a Stony Brook number from another Stony Brook number, that was considered local. And depending on what kind of plan you had, it was either covered or you paid a flat rate. And you could stay on as long as you want. But if you called to a different zone, well, then it was considered a regional call, and you pay per minute, unless you had a plan that covered it.
This is all the same area code?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, Long Island was. It was all 516 back then. Then it was 212, 718, 914 as well. For the other zones.
Right, but you're speaking on the local level.
I'm speaking
these zones occurred within an area.
Calling between Western Suffolk and Eastern Suffolk. And the borderline is not very far from here. Basically, I think it's at Rocky Point and Port Jefferson. That's where the border is. And it's not dependent on distance, or it wasn't dependent on distance. If you call from Port Jefferson to Rocky Point, it was considered regional, calling from Western Suffolk to Eastern Suffolk, even though you were maybe feet away.
Right.
And then if you were in Huntington, which is the westernmost border of Western Suffolk, and you called to Port Jefferson much further away, it was considered a local call. That's just how it worked. What I found out recently, in this day and age, where you can call overseas for nothing or for a penny a minute, where you have, by default, unlimited national plans, where you can call people in California, it doesn't cost you anything above whatever you pay for your plan, these bozos still have that whole system in place. They still charge you if you call from Western Suffolk to Eastern Suffolk.
Wait. You're telling me you could have like a nationwide plan that's unlimited,
yeah.
you pay for what you pay for, and then you go to maybe check something, or maybe you're actually using the service. You're making a call from one really local area to not very far away, and you get charged more than what you would get charged if you were going to like the West Coast or to the Midwest.
If you're foolish enough to have a plan with at least this local phone company, you'll find that they've kept the rate structure in place from 20, 30 years ago. I was astounded. I just happened to look at a bill, and I saw that we were being charged for every single forwarded phone call and timed as well. I called them about that, and they offered me a different plan where I could get unlimited regional calls.
Right.
And when all the tax and tip and whatever else is included, you wind up paying about $60 a month just to have a phone line that forwards to another phone line. It's just incredible.
Wait, so did you get the unlimited then?
Well, the unlimited was better than the timed. The timed, if you get 100 calls in a short period of time, you're going above that $60 a month pretty quickly.
Okay.
Especially and they have daytime rates too. They still have this. They have daytime, evening, and night rates. Yeah. Remember those? Well, you can still find them in Verizon Land. So if somebody were to call many times during the day, yeah, you could easily exceed that. So I figured the unlimited regional plan would be worthwhile. But no, it's not.
Work?
It's not, because when you add it all up, it's about $60 a month, and all you have is a phone line forwarding to another phone line. So, I talked about this on Off the Hook a little bit a few weeks ago, and we're moving ahead. We're going to some kind of voice over IP system that'll cost about $10 a month, which is what it should cost. But I just cannot believe these dinosaurs of the phone system still exist, and this is why they're slowly spiraling out of business, at least in that department. Maybe they want to. It seems like they want to push everybody into the wireless realm. Where they can milk them for something else.
Yes, if they can get you into wireless and get you signing contracts with something that's completely unregulated, where they can change rates and do all kinds of different things as far as data, and then don't even get me started on how you use that data and tethering or network neutrality. You know what loads faster and the reliability of the wireless in maybe even an emergency. But the telephone companies want to squeeze every penny out of that copper that they laid long ago, and so they'll reconfigure it and do all kinds of things to make it worthwhile, to make it worth the cost. I mean, they've long since paid for all of that copper. They're just going to continue to sell it to people. So you either go with the wireless situation, or if it is a landline. Even if you're doing something as simple as like forwarding it, they'll make it out to be a huge, I don't know what I want to say, like a
huge ordeal for the customer. I'm not sure what they make it out to be, but a lot more trouble than it actually is to simply do something that anybody can do these days.
A big undertaking or something inconvenient for them, so they're going to charge you, which just seems absurd.
So, yeah, so listening to the old radio shows, many things have changed, but some things have not changed. And you see that the things that have not changed are, you know, many times they really should have changed, but they just never got around to it, or for one reason or another. I don't know. Is it like that in other parts of the country? Are you aware back in Washington if it's like that? With your local phone company, are they that antiquated?
No, I don't think so. Not this obviously. I don't know. I think, like, if you're in a rural area, we'll have to do some investigating. But if you're in a rural area, you know, there might be situations where you run into, you know, like, I think Ameritech or something, or some company like that is still running out in some of the rural areas, and I'm sure they have. They either provide really good service and you can actually get these things taken care of because they're local, or they're local and they count on that for making you bend to their will. But in like most situations, yeah, I mean, the big phone companies out on the West Coast, they're predictably hard to interact with and hard-headed about changing things, but they're all together. I mean, you can figure them out. You can work with them to some degree or another. Mm-hmm. You just have to know their know kind of what to expect, and that, or you go and talk to the telephone pioneers.
You know that Ameritech doesn't exist anymore, right? Or do they exist in some other form? Because I'm looking at their Wikipedia page right now, and they were acquired by SBC, Southern Bell. They've turned into SBC back in 1999.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a different company.
And then they acquired AT&T in 2006. Right. So basically, Ameritech is now AT&T again. And that's another thing, how the phone companies are just sort of combining again and becoming the same thing that they once were.
I'm mixing up some old phone companies. I can't really remember what it is, but out in like Eastern Washington, there's a couple smaller telephone. I think it's CenturyTel. But yeah, Ameritech was. That's the wrong answer because I lived in Chicago for a while, so I think that's where I got Ameritech. So.
Well, we're always fascinated in things telephonic and technology, how things have changed. And I guess that's a good segue into what it is that we're doing here tonight, other than just talking about various things that come to mind, which is a great thing to do. We also have to pay the rent or keep this place going, however you want to phrase it. This is the last week of our fundraiser for this program anyway. So we're hoping to get a strong showing. And we brought the book again this week. You want to hold the book up? Yeah, you want to drop it on the table? Yeah, that's a heavy book. It's over 600 pages of text there. It's called Dear Hacker. It's a compilation of the best letters that we've gotten at 2600 Magazine and the responses to those letters that we've printed over the years. 2600 started back in 1984, and it's been going strong ever since. And the letters section is probably the most popular part of the entire magazine. People really reading the letters. They go there first before anything else, and getting yourself into the letters section is considered a rite of passage. Mm. So I'm going to try and find something. You were reading a bunch of select letters.
Yeah.
Last time we did this a couple of weeks
ago. Right, right. The better part of the show.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the chapter called Technology.
Okay.
Here it is on page 153. Folks, if you call 631-632-9872, which is 631-632-WUSB, you can get a copy of this book, autographed by myself and Kyle, for a pledge of $50. But you have to call this hour, within this hour. Otherwise, this book will not be available again, because we're only offering it during this particular fundraiser. 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. And I'd like to see a strong finish here. You got a good turnout when you were reading selections from this book. You think we'll get another...
I really hope so. I'm feeling a bit off today, because I'd really appreciate, you know, some calls. I think that would make me feel better. I don't know why. I'm just feeling like we need some support here. I think it would clear my head. It would make me feel a little better if some people called
in. You had a paper bag on your head, too. I was going to ask you about that, but I didn't want to be rude.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, I mean, that might be related, but in any event.
See, that's the thing in radio. Nobody really knows. You can just describe something like that. Like, Kyle, look behind you. And, you know, people on the radio will think that there's something actually. And you did, too. And people think that you did, even though you didn't. You didn't flinch. But whatever I say, that's the power of radio. You can basically just paint a world.
That's right,
and it's all in the imagination. It's a step away from reading and having it in your imagination as well. It's magic. It really is magic. It's what's drawn the both of us into it.
Yeah,
and that's why you like to listen to radio. That's why you eventually got involved in radio. Same thing with me, listening as a kid and getting involved in college and staying with it ever since. Let's have that magic be available to as many people as possible. People coming through Stony Brook, people listening throughout the world. It's a vital resource to have, whether you're talking about music, news, public affairs, entertainment of any sort. WUSB is precious. It's rare. It's endangered. 631-632-9872. Pledge whatever you can afford. If you want to call in and get some WUSB paraphernalia, we have all kinds of things, T-shirts, sweatshirts, coffee mugs, hats, you name it. We've got that. We've got many, many other premiums to offer, but the one we're featuring tonight is the Dear Hacker 2600 book on letters to the editor, 600 pages for a pledge of $50, 631-632-9872.
I feel better now.
Good.
I feel better now, but I would really appreciate that first call, though.
Yeah, that would be nice. Well, I'm going to read the first letter. How about that? I read a letter, we get a call. Is that fair?
Yeah. All right, yeah. I feel good that we're in here and we're ready. So, you know, I just want to hear more from the callers, you know, more from the audience to see that they're willing to pledge. This is a great place.
It is a great place. It is a great place.
So please read one, and I think that will bring us right into to some activity on the pledging. So.
All right. Well, let's see.
You got a good one?
I have a bunch of good ones. Some of them are quite long, so I don't want to read too much here. I'll read this one. This is from 1986. Dear 2600, I'm a new subscriber and would like to contribute some interesting information. And our readers are always doing that. First, there's a computer at 800-538-7002. And don't try calling that because I'm sure it doesn't do this anymore. It accepts a 10-digit DTMF sequence. DTMF is touchdown. And speaks them back at you. Yeah, so you enter some numbers and speaks them back. Back then, that was a big deal. The input must be 10 digits with star, pound, A, B, C, and D tones accepted. And A, B, C, D is the missing row of touch tones. That's right.
You can still find them, though.
You can still find them if you look. But most phones, you have 1, 2, 3, and you don't have the fourth row. The fourth row, there would be an A next to that. Next to the 6 would be a B. Next to the 9 would be a C. Next to the pound would be a D. And those tones were used in the Audubon system, the military phone network. But every touch-tone phone is capable of making that fourth column.
Yes.
So that's kind of interesting. Anyway, continuing with the letter here. All these tones are accepted but not pronounced. It's more forgiving than most COs as far as frequency tolerance goes. Tape-recorded DTMF inputs will decode fine if your tape speed and audio levels are up to par. I'm employed by the cellular telephone industry and would gladly write an article on cellular freaking if there's any interest. The article will have to be a bit on the technical side, however, and the techniques outlined will require a knowledge of electronics and hexadecimal math and access to a PROM programmer. Signed, Bernie S.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, the same Bernie S. that now appears regularly on Off the Hook. Here was our answer. This is back in 1986. We didn't even know who he was back then.
That's hilarious.
I don't think he even knew who he was back then. The number you gave belongs to a company that sells equipment that generates speech and is activated by touch tones. It will be a good tool for those who need to decode phone numbers. Radio Shack sells a chip that is called a touch tone decoder. Maybe one of our electronically proficient readers can produce a schematic to make this chip work for us. With regard to writing articles, please write about cellular phones, but write two articles. The first should be an overview of how cellular phones work, how calls are routed, and how we can call a cellular phone. Include some sample phone numbers or perhaps a directory of numbers to call. Try to answer simple questions that people who have not had a chance to use cellular phones may ask. Then you can tell us how we can freak them. Freak meaning basically play around with them, P-H-R-E-A-K. If it is technical, try to give some reference sources. Try to make it interesting so even if we lack the education and resources to practice cellular freaking, we would want to read it. And I think that pretty much encompasses what 2600 has been about over the years. we're curious about technology, even if we don't have the ability to play with it ourselves. We want to know how it works. We want to hear that viewpoint. That's important. That's vital.
Yeah, and it's amazing how much information like that can stir up your imagination. Even if you don't have access to the device, you can think of and consider ways that it might work. And especially if you have details from somebody who does have access, you can innovate and you can consider how like unintended uses for things. So that's a great article.
Absolutely.
Or letter section.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for staying out of it here, but I'm just looking at all these other letters.
Well, can I see the phone number?
About, can you see what?
The phone number.
You want to see the phone? You
can
call
I say the phone number?
Oh, can you say the phone number?
No, our phone number.
Our phone number, yes, please. Can you say it?
Yeah, let me try. Hold
all right, here we go.
Hold on.
I was going to say the phone number.
631-632-9872.
That's correct. That's our phone number. 631-632-WUSB. I read a letter. All right, that was the agreement, listeners. That was the agreement. I read a letter, and
I'm feeling really good.
We get a phone call.
I'd feel better if there was that call coming in.
Yeah.
You know, we're here for you. This is live radio.
Mm-hmm.
WSB, Stony Brook. Oh, wait, is that?
That is a phone call. That is a phone call, and Finn is in the other room. He's picking it up. Now, Finn has a signal, a sophisticated signal. If he starts jumping up and down on the table and pounding his fist into the air, that generally means it's a pledge. He has not done that as of yet.
So what are the pledge levels that we're offering?
Well, there he goes. Okay, there goes. Oh, wonderful. Wow, I don't know how he's able to do that. I don't know how the table's able to support that.
Whoa.
Yeah, we got to be careful. Now, that's the same room where the whole fiasco last year with the dancers and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the drummer.
Not supposed to talk about that
in
the terms of the settlement. But by the way, I should point out this coming up fairly soon. Well, there are a bunch of things on the horizon. I'm going to be going to that Starbucks. I'm going to be going to that Starbucks in California.
Really?
I'm going to be doing well. You know what I'm going to do
no
at some
way.
Point? Yeah, I have to.
You're
I have to
go.
Did you think I was just going to make it up?
Oh my gosh!
Of course.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I sense that there's some sarcasm in your enthusiasm there, but it is so cool because all my life I had not been to a Starbucks, and on these radio waves last year, all of last year, in fact, we narrowed it down from over 10,000 Starbucks to one, and in the end, it's going to be Starbucks in Newport Beach, California that I go to.
Wow, that is how cosmonautic of you.
11?
You're going to go into outer space and...
You see, I'd hope for better. I hope for a better type of response here. I hoped you'd realize that this was something that was important to me because, you know, I want to be able to go inside a Starbucks with friends occasionally. The times where you and everybody else go inside a Starbucks and I stand outside for an hour and a half waiting for you, what do you
yes.
think that's all about? You know, it's I want to go inside, but I made a vow. The vow was, if you recall, on these radio waves, I want to go to Cuba first, I want to go to North Korea first, and then I'll go to Starbucks. And I made that vow, and I went to those places, and then when I had come back, I said, okay, well, now we have to fairly pick the first one to go to, and we went through this whole thing with over 10,000 Starbucks that we narrowed down week by week. More and more people got involved. There were dancers flown in from some overseas nation whose name I don't even remember. They somehow got locked out of the country too, which is always a pain. And there was musicians and all kinds of competition. It really got out of hand, and it just goes to show how starved people are for excitement. But anyway, the point is, Newport Beach, California, 1128 Irvine Avenue, they won, and whether they like it or not, I'm going to go there first. I'm not sure when, probably sometime in the spring. You see, remember the grand jury thing that I ducked a month or so ago?
Yeah.
I was supposed to be on a grand jury, and I just slept late and didn't show up and called them and said, you know what, let's do this in May. I don't know if it's going to happen in May, but supposedly that's coming up on my horizon. Once that's finished... a friend of mine wants me to drive his car to Arizona. I'm going to drive it out there and then figure out how to get to California and take it from there. Now, you're heading back to Washington in a couple of days.
Yes, I am.
Well, that's been here for quite a while, and we've done some amazing things. And
yeah.
I guess it's time to water the plants.
Well, actually, I'm going there as a part of the fallout relief that's going on in the West Coast.
Oh, you're going to scoop up radiation off the beach or something?
Yeah, well, I'm going to like hand out medical supplies and food and water to West Coast people that are suffering from fallout.
Did you hear somebody washed up on shore in Oregon that was swept out to sea from the tsunami?
No.
Yeah, I read this today. I didn't get a chance to print this out, but I read that an American, a California native, got sucked out to sea because of the tsunami. And his body was found off the coast of Oregon. And when I first read the story, I was incredulous. I mean, he got sucked out from Japan all the way across the Pacific Ocean, and he just happened to be American and wound up in Oregon. No, actually, the tsunami had its effect in California.
Apparently. Right, it reached land.
Yeah, and this poor guy...
was surfing.
I don't know what he was doing. I think he was taking pictures or surfing. Something he really shouldn't have been doing, and wound up meeting his end that way. And they only just found him. And they found him one state up. So, wow, that's quite a story.
But, yeah, I'm going back. There's all kinds of projects and, you know, green things that need work. And it's springtime, so it's a great time for all those green initiatives to be coming to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm heading over there, going to get the radiation off people and work on some of these green issues.
And I'll be coming through there at some point too, since I'll be on the West Coast, and we have the Chaos Camp to look forward to in the summer, and all kinds of other activities that'll be taking place, and we'll see you here too again at some point. So it's gonna be interesting next few weeks. Next week I won't be here because I'll be at the Big Audio Dynamite concert in New York City.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're coming back together for one night. And of course it's on a Tuesday night, so I have to I'm not sure what's gonna air. We might have a tape show, we might have something else. We don't know yet. So a lot of interesting things to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We want to thank Gerard for his generous donation from Deer Park. Thanks for your call, and I'd like to invite people to join him.
631-632-9872.
That's 631-632-WUSB.
Please call in and support the radio station. We're in the middle of towards the end of the spring radiothon, and we would like people to give us a call, make a pledge. Any pledge is a big deal. We have things to offer you at the $25, $50, and $75 level. There's also the $35 level, and then you could also be one of the people that joins the 90.1 Club. That is, if you donate $90.01, you get a couple of items as thank you gifts, and you get to be a part of that unique club. So please call in 631-632-9872, make a pledge right now, keep the station on the air, keep us all coming back to deliver you news and music, all kinds of insightful radio, and like, you know, the recorded shows we've done, and you know, keep us doing what we're doing here at the radio station, and it'll keep young people coming in and learning about the radio station, and keep this art form, keep this medium going. It's really unique, and we're a small organization here. We're not funded by, you know, large commercial entities. We don't have to, as we were talking about the phone company, we don't have to bend to their will. We can say what we will, say what we would like, and this is how we keep the place going. So please support us.
631-632-9872. And good luck saying Verizon sucks on a commercial radio station. You can't do that because they sponsor them. They pay for commercials. We don't have commercials. You're our sponsors. You're the investors. You're the people that keep the place going. And because of that, we are able to speak freely, and so are you. And you're able to hear things that you would not hear anyplace else.
That's right.
631-632-9872. And again, for that pledge of $50, you'll get an autographed copy of the book we're excerpting from today, Dear Hacker. Letters to the editor of 2600, and it's fun getting these letters. I think, and I've mentioned this before, the letters I enjoy the most, it's from the section called Our Biggest Fans, and I think you were reading from this section a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, you directed me to that section. It's particularly funny, too. It's people writing in with their complaints, their comments, trying to sort of espouse their feelings about the magazine and perhaps correct you. And your responses are often very witty and polite, considering some of the attacks that you guys have
well,
to deal with.
You have to be polite so that you can really get them in the last sentence, because they're still with you.
Well, it's, that's the high road, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the high road. But you always have to come down from the high road at some point, so that's what I enjoy. Okay, here's an excerpt, and please, folks, I hope when I look up from reading this excerpt that there's another phone call, a 631-632-9872, there with this nice shiny red light, and that Finn is dancing on the table again, happy to have taken another call to support the radio station. Every little bit counts. Remember, our entire goal for this whole fundraiser, which is lasting almost a month, is $15,000. That's really not that much when you add it all up.
Right.
And if we just get one more call today, we've raised $100. That's not insignificant. It really is not. In some places, they might try to tell you that it is insignificant. We have to raise $5,000 this hour. Well, you know, we're happy raising whatever it is we can raise, and that's where you come in. So please give a call, 631-632-9872. Now, to the letter. Dear 2600, it has come to our attention that you have published one of our business marketing 800 numbers in your quarterly and also in a hacker's bulletin board. The number you published is 1-800-775-55XX. We put the X's in there. This is from 1994, by the way. Our service is a commercial caller ID identification that operates throughout North America and provides needed information to law enforcement agencies and major businesses. By publishing one of our lines as a novelty number to call for fun, your disclosure is causing wasted time by our staff and costing not only their time, but also the long-distance fees we pay while our lines are in use during your subscribers' games. You are hereby given notice to cease and desist the publication of our business number, immediately remove it from bulletin board postings, and in the bulletin board, publish the posting that an 800 number had been published by your service, which demonstrates commercial caller identification service and is not to be called for entertainment or curiosity purposes, and that such calls may create civil and or criminal prosecution for interference with interstate telecommunications. You are also hereby notified that all calls to this number are being identified, and callers will be contacted regarding their abuse of this number, and your company will be invoiced for the call activity at a rate of $1 per call. We hope in the future you will take more precautions when encouraging your readers to entertain themselves by disrupting business services. Signed, James E. Walker, President, Telscan, from Loveland, Colorado. And here's our reply to that particular letter. If this isn't the height of arrogance and condescension, we may never know what is. First off, guess what? We didn't even publish your stupid 800 number. In fact, we just protected your valuable 7-digit gold mine by blocking out part of it. We'll await your letter of thanks. Next, what appears on our voicemail system, which we assume to be the hacker bulletin board you mentioned, is entirely legal. If somebody posts an 800 number there, we are under no obligation whatsoever to erase it. We don't allow codes or credit card numbers because they can be used to commit fraud. Calling an 800 number is not, by any stretch of the imagination, an instance of fraud. However, if you try to bill someone for calling your 800 number, you will be the one guilty of fraud. If a person repeatedly calls your number after being asked not to, it's a clear case of harassment. But that's not what you're talking about here. You've got one hell of a nerve, assuming that our readers do nothing but make frivolous calls and disrupt communications. Our readers have designed systems like the one you use, and if you weren't so stuck up, you might have actually gotten some real, legitimate customers out of this unique group of people. Since you've made your feelings about them so clear, we fervently urge our readership to never do business with this company. That should make us all happy. Well, that's
that's well put.
That gets pretty heated sometimes. Yeah, that's one of those letters that you know, you just kind of stand up when you type in the response to it. Not everybody likes us. That's for sure. And
right.
People jump to misassumptions and all kinds of things.
Curiosity purposes.
Yeah, the ultimate sin.
Wow.
So this book, which I just closed, is available, signed, autographed by Kyle and myself, for a pledge of $50. But you got to call now. You got to call in the next 15 minutes, because after that, we're off the air, and this book is gone. This book is going back into the archives. Yeah, it's pretty heavy archives, too. 631-632-9872. Please make those phones ring. You know, we could take more than one phone call.
Yes.
And then it'd be a lot of running around the studio, but a lot of good running around, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah, if need be, I'll run out and I'll pick up a phone.
He'll do that.
Yeah.
He'll do that.
So if you want to call now, I mean, we've got all these different premiums for giving this book out. As a thank you for the $50 pledge. You pledge a little less, $25 or $35. We'll get you any number of items from a knit cap, scarf, coffee mug, ceramic mug, military, or a baseball cap. The $50 pledge, you could also get a gift certificate. But why would you want to do that? This book is so good.
Yeah, it and, is. We're donating it to the radio station, yeah, so absolutely. Please accept it with our thanks once you make your pledge.
Right, right, right. But you could get the gift certificate if you wanted, if you didn't like books. At the $75 level, you get a sweatshirt, and the 90.1 Club, you get a t-shirt or a sweatshirt plus a tote or a tote plus two other items. So t-shirt, sweatshirt, tote, plus two other items.
As you can see, we have all kinds of things here.
It's a lot
people.
Of stuff.
Yeah, it really is.
Hard to even explain all this stuff.
All you got to do is give a phone call to 631-632-9872, and Finn will be happy to guide you through that whole process. And you'll feel great afterwards. I know I've done it myself, and all of our listeners say the same thing. It's good to know that you're investing in something that matters to you and that you're helping. And you really are helping, because every call gets mentioned on the air. Every call adds up to our ultimate goal and keeps this radio station thriving. And it has been thriving since it went on the air back in 1977. 631-632-9872. Is that who I think it is? Hang on. Let me turn on a microphone over here.
Hello, this is Alec Baldwin from television. You've heard of television, the dominant broadcast medium of our age. And I've come here to your public radio station during your sad little pledge drive with a simple message.
Hey.
Don't give. Public radio, with its lack of hot, buxom starlets, its diluted sense of seriousness, its pathetic faith that ideas still matter, it has no place in today's media landscape. So please, this pledge drive, don't give. Let public radio sputter and die a slow, underfunded death. Let's end this experiment at broadcasting from a sense of mission and civic purpose. Let's return all radio in this country to its proper mission, which is selling advertising and making money. To all of you who have not pledged, my brothers, in this sacred struggle, I salute you. You listen day in, day out, and you never give. Through your sloth, your laziness, your indolence, you are making it that much harder for these people to do their jobs. Every minute you continue not to pledge, you lengthen this station's pledge drive, keeping its precious news and information off the air. Nice work. This pledge drive, please keep that up. Help me destroy public radio. This pledge drive, do what most of your fellow listeners do. Nothing. Do not call now. Do not donate online. Here's someone to give you instructions on how to pledge, which you should ignore.
Well, you know, I appreciate Alec stumbling in here, and he does seem to have had a few. But the message is a little muddy there, but maybe it'll be effective because, yeah, you know, if you don't call, then radio does get destroyed, right, Kyle?
Yeah. He's got, sure. He's got a point.
He's got a point. He's got a point in a weird way. 631-632-9872. Please don't take his advice. Call us and support the radio station. Do whatever you can. We take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and it all matters. It really matters.
Indeed.
You know, I saw this job application come through. I don't know if you saw this, Kyle, for pilot astronauts.
Yeah,
Virgin Galactic has launched its search for pilot astronauts. We were talking about space before, so this might be something for our listeners to get involved in. This unique opportunity initially involves working as part of the White Knight 2 and Spaceship 2 spaceflight system test and development team in Mojave, California, then taking the experience gained from that program to the Space Line's commercial operations at its operating base, Spaceport America, in New Mexico. Wow.
Yeah,
they're jumping into this, aren't they?
Yeah, and you know what? I think young people out there should jump right into this. There's so much silliness that happens in high school. You know, forget the learner's permit, forget, you know, getting your driver's license and buying a car. That's all a scam. You're going to end up paying money forever and ever and ever. Skip all of that and just go right to the pilot's license, and then you can apply for this job.
Absolutely, yeah. And they say that priority would be given to people with previous space flight experience. I'm not sure how many people that actually encompasses, but if you do have any space flight experience, you know, actual space flight experience, then please keep that in mind. But
wait, hold on.
Careers.virgin.com, you can find that.
Yeah, riding a bike is space flight, in my opinion.
You see, so. Okay, you go in there with that attitude, and I'm sure they will take notice,
That's right.
And you'll get all the attention that you should get. So yeah, it's a changing world, Kyle. It's a changing world. Things surprise me every day. I never thought I'd be reading a job application for astronauts on the air, but I just did.
It's beautiful.
All right, 631-632-9872. And just in our last few minutes, because Kyle, I want to give you the chance since we don't know when you'll be on again. But maybe sum up some of the things we did. We went a couple of days ago. We went to B&H Photo, which is a place you always wanted to go to.
Yeah, and a good thing too, because Passover's this week.
That's right. Yes, they're the camera store, the largest non-chain camera and video store in the world. We're not advertising for them. We're just pointing them out as an amazing historical and cultural relic that's in the middle of New York City. I learned a lot about this. Most of the people who work there are Satmar Hasidic Jews, and I was reading up about them. They also are in Williamsburg. And it's a Hasidic movement comprising mostly Hungarian, Romanian, Hasidic Jewish Holocaust survivors and their descendants. And the two largest communities are in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and Kiryas Joel, New York. I've never been there. That's upstate New York a little bit. And there are other communities throughout. But it's amazing because you would think, and we've driven around Williamsburg quite a bit and seen people walking around all kinds of interesting, unusual garb and following their customs. It's amazing to see that, just to see all these different communities in New York. But you would think that this group of people, more than any other group, would be pro-Israel. And it turns out they're anti-Israel. They're anti-Zionist, anti-State of Israel. They believe the State of Israel can only be given to them by the Messiah themselves and not by people. So it's just...
Just goes to show.
Yeah.
You can't judge a book by its cover.
Definitely not. And, you know, if only that attitude prevailed, I think everybody in the Mideast would say, okay, you know what, when the Messiah comes down from the sky, you guys can have this land, and then we'll back out and go someplace else. But no, the world is a lot more complicated than that, obviously.
Absolutely.
But B&H, let's get back to B&H. That was a very interesting place. For one thing, maybe you want to talk about the system they have for transporting things once you buy them.
Yeah, nobody walks around with products. It's not like a big box store where you walk in, you grab what you need, and you go to the checkout counter. You go in there, and you're in this enormous sales floor of all kinds of different things. You speak with a representative, and you know, you look at the stuff that you're interested in, but most of it is in a case or it's locked, you know, to a display. So you can touch it, you can see the features. It's all well displayed for you. Then you speak to a representative, you find the product that you need. They write up a ticket, then they send it to sort of a standby area, and you can continue shopping. And as you accumulate items, they're all associated with the same barcode. So you get one receipt, then you go to another counter, and they take the previous barcode and they add an item to that barcode. And it's all these bins that they actually send the products around on. And they have like a huge conveyor system, sort of like what you would imagine a package company like UPS or somebody
would
have.
But it's not a conveyor belt that just is continuously moving. It's basically...
It's intelligent.
Yeah, it's intelligent because... One item can move while another one continues or another one stops
right
behind it, and one might turn someplace else or drop into a particular department. One might yield to another box going by, and I think it's two rollers per microcircuit that they have, I believe.
Something like that. The rollers are attached in sections. And so when you go to one section, when it has to make a decision, there's a laser scanner. It scans the barcode that is – there's a slip that they slip into your tub. Mm-hmm. So you get a barcode, and then there's a tub with a corresponding barcode slipped in the side. So the conveyor belt reads what barcode is on the side of the tub, and then that tells the tub to stop, wait for this other thing that's going a different direction.
Right.
Then your tub proceeds on to its final place. And as you accumulate items, they're all sort of put on your ticket. And then when you're finished, you have to go through this entire checkout thing where you hand them a receipt. They look up all the items that you've got. You pay for it all in once.
And it's not over there at that point
then
either.
You step around the mm-hmm. register after you've paid. That is when you can go and claim your items, and you hand them another receipt that has a barcode that proves you've paid, and a guy will hand you a bag of all of the stuff that's accumulated. And that way, anything on the floor you've either brought in or is there permanently as part of a display, And it seems like it's a really efficient way to handle order fulfillment and shopping.
When you first walked in, you saw all these conveyor belts over your head of items moving all around the place. I'll bet you thought this is a primitive holdover from some long ago time. In actuality, it's really efficient and very cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I had no idea. Everybody said, B&H is a destination. You know, you got to check that out sometime. I had no idea what it was all about. And it's mm-hmm. just like so much activity, so much hard work going on. And I mean, I was aware of their catalog and all that and how big they are. And they really are an entity in and of themselves. And just reading up about sort of the history and how they are independent and all that, I can see why they are set up the way they are at the store, because they have all these things to ship out and customers coming in from all around the world.
You went there with an old camera.
Yeah.
What kind is a camera again?
I have a Graflex Speed Graphic 4x5 large format camera.
And you brought that in to ask some questions about film and operation, things like that. And when you found the right people, the people that actually were into that kind of thing, boy, did you get respect from them. And people gathered around saying, that's the best camera ever.
Yeah.
And it's just that kind of enthusiasm. Yeah, that kind of knowledge.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. This is how I like to take this picture. There's a little notch here that you might not see unless you look for it. And just that wealth of information, that's what it's all about. And that's what always inspires me, when people are able to share that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's breaking the ice and then asking for an item that, you know, you'd think people wouldn't really know about. They directed me to the used camera section, and they were able to recognize the camera that I had and get me the right parts. I was getting a film carrier. And then the guy gave me instructions on how to load film and all this, that, and the other thing. Then they sent the film carrier over in the bin, and I went down and bought some film. Same idea, except I was getting film, and that guy gave me instructions on how to use the film and how to test my shutter speed and all kinds of information. Very enthusiastic. And then we walked around a bit more, and I was able to get my carrier and my film, and now I'll hopefully be making some large format negatives.
And I want to see those, that's for sure. Yes. Listen, Kyle, we're out of time. I hope people see the parallels between what we're talking about here, going to a camera store and having all kinds of different cultures and enthusiasm and knowledge shared. There's a parallel between that and what we do here at WUSB, and hopefully that will inspire at least one more person to call 631-632-9872, pledge $50 for the book, pledge whatever it is you can afford for anything else you might want, but mostly you're pledging for the radio station. So let's get one last flurry in the 2 minutes we have left, 631-632-9872. And Kyle, it's been amazing, and I know it will be amazing again before we know it.
Yes.
With you back here in the studio, and I'll be out on the West Coast doing God knows what. At some point, I have all kinds of other things to deal with first, like grand juries and various things like that. Hopefully no grand juries against me, but who knows?
No, you won't have grand juries against you, but please do take care driving out and
well, you take care flying out.
Yeah, I'll take care flying out.
From what I hear, that's a bit more dangerous. Planes knocking into other planes and things like that.
No.
The tops being peeled off like
okay,
some kind
all
of
right.
a tuna
Thank
tin.
You.
Yeah, that's right. You are flying soon, aren't you? We'll talk about this over the phone. But yeah, it's been great, and of course you're going back to deal with taxes, I know, because that time is coming up relatively quickly.
Yes, taxes, fallout, and green movements and sustainability—they'll all be on the top of my list, and just catching up with people, friends, family.
Yeah,
community.
Absolutely, it is where you came from, after all.
Absolutely, so I want to go check in with everyone, and I'm sure I'll be back, and. I don't know. I've had a good time, so thank you for having me.
All right. And, of course, you don't have headphones, so you don't know what we've been listening to, but you might have a clue. When we were in Tromsø, Norway, we saw the film Tron, the new Tron, and you just went ballistic over this. You loved the music so much, so I figured, as a favor, as a present, I would play this the entire time, and it's too bad you couldn't hear any of it. But we've been playing the music to from Daft Punk for the last hour or so.
Yeah, I have Thomas Bangalter records and some of the French house vinyl from when I was in like middle school playing records and going record shopping. And so to see that they've moved on and started doing soundtracks and a lot of the electronic music I grew up in the 90s with. So that's cool. Please play a track so I can listen to it.
All right, we're going
to
go out with this, and Finn's going to come in.
Good.
We're in his time now, so we better get out of here quickly. And we'll see you soon. Good night, everybody.
Bye.